And greetings once again. Welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, guten tag, bonjour, salam, shalom, peace, now. From the entertainment capital of the McNugget Petro Pharmaceutical Walmart Industrial Complex, it's the planet's first and only vegan radio show on commercial airwaves. Project of 501c3 International Humanity Center. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I'm the Bob Linden part of that, and your part is Go Vegan. Huh? Well, there's no time to waste, although some people might accuse me of doing just that for the past 4 years, wasting time. Yes, it was 4 years ago this weekend that I knew, yes, that I was willing to have my integrity impugned because I answered that calling. Because I answered that calling, Sontag. I know I should come to rehearsal. Okay. Okay. So, it was 4 years ago that I was willing to have my integrity impugned as I answered that calling.
Oh, new one. I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Yeah, they weren't so sure then either. Actually, we had technical difficulties 4 years ago, too. We lost all of the commercials in the computer and couldn't play any that day. Oh, well. So 4 years ago, it was our inaugural debut, the first time that a vegan radio show would be broadcast in Los Angeles, an outgrowth of my involvement with the creation and production of a series of vegan festivals called World Fest in Los Angeles and San Diego Fall Fest in Ocean Beach preceding those. And, well, after doing an interview promoting World Fest on a radio show on KRLA, the first station that ran the show some years back, a producer there, Suzanne LaShawn, said to me, "Wow, well, you're obviously passionate about animals and broadcasting." You know, I had been the program director of a number of music radio stations around the country, from 98.1 KIFM in San Diego to KNUA, The Sound in Seattle, where I got fired after an argument with the man after the station decided it would run fur advertising right in the middle of our campaign to collect towels for otters who were in the Alaska oil spill. You know, but there were better days at other radio stations, Jazzy 100 in Washington, D.C., and CD 101 in New York, Love 94. In Miami, and even a blast in San Antonio. It's Star 106 and Z92 in Omaha. Yeah, that station rocked, huh? Well, 4 years ago, I was given 2 weeks to come up with advertising to cover the cost of a show to go on the air. I don't know, station management somewhat trusted my judgment, having been, you know, a major market PD. That's a radio talk for program director, as we say in the biz. But still, you know, they were trusting me to do a vegan radio show. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even know what one would sound like. You know, I mean, I knew how to do rock and jazz on the radio, but I didn't know. I didn't know that I'd be ridiculing slashed food outlets like McDevil's and Murder King and Wendy's and Kills Jr. and K-Killing F4C Cash or you know, the Outhouse Outbreak Steakhouse, you know, all of those places, up Chuck E. Cheese, you know, and never imagined that I would be in a position like that. So I figured, well, chances were good I wouldn't be allowed to do a second show after that first one 4 years ago. I thought, well, given the opportunity to have a guest on one and only one vegan radio, vegan animal rights, animal liberation program, well, let it be a most special and heroic person, a true hero to me, someone whose name could and should be mentioned in the same breath as Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa. And on that very first show 4 years ago, that very first guest ever was Ingrid Newkirk, who's the co-founder and president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, the world's largest animal rights organization, who just will happen to be a guest on this week's show, just coming up in just a minute or two here. So quick call your friends, let them know, to tell them to turn on the radio, or they can go to goveganradio.com, goveganradio.com, to hear a living saint. Call them now, because I'll give you a moment to do that. I'll go into my regular Bush bashing regime for a quick Bush regime bashing for a quick moment here. A regime that can make rice even distasteful to a vegetarian. But not rice from Lundberg Family Farms, one of our great sponsors here. You know, those folks, Bush and Cheney and Kahn and Delisa Rice, incoming torture general Alberto Gonzalez, who, a productive day for him is to sit down with a stopwatch and figure out how long you can stick a prisoner's head in a toilet and flush, and the prisoner could still live. You know, anyway. All of those folks will soon slip into forgotten oblivion, and, you know, the sooner the better. Well, someone like Ingrid Newkirk, for all the good that she does in the world, will be remembered forever, for in the end, it will be kindness and love that prevail, or humankind will perish from the earth, and we really don't have much time either, and I'll get into this story either later today or again next week, but I don't know if you noticed, but the timetable has set, the global warming danger threshold for the world is now being clearly marked for the first time in an international report that was released last week. The bad news is the world has nearly reached it already. This from The Independent. The countdown down to climate change catastrophe is spelt out by a task force of senior politicians, business leaders, etc., and it could be in as little as 10 years or even less, their report indicates, that major catastrophe could be reached here when we're beyond, you know, the danger point of global warming. That is the temperature rise beyond which the world would be irretrievably committed to disastrous changes, and those could include widespread agricultural failure and water shortages and major droughts and increased disease and sea level rise and the death of forests, all of that, which incidentally I seem to blame on our meat eating, which I don't know if you've paid attention, but all of those releases into the atmosphere are generally from eating meat. So, for example, cattle and beef production produce three of the four global warming gases, carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, and methane. Much of the carbon dioxide is directly attributable to beef production, burning forests to make way for cattle pasture and burning tracts of agricultural waste. CO2 is also generated by fuel used for the mechanized agricultural production. Petrochemical fertilizers use up a lot of, you get the story. We will be following this because there is no time to waste for us to make kind choices. And just happens to be that the name of Ingrid's new book is Making Kind Choices. Ingrid, the founder, co-founder and president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, before she founded PETA, she was a deputy sheriff, a state law enforcement officer for 25 years, and a high success rate in convicting animal abusers. And over the years, animal abusers run when they hear that PETA is on the way. Ingrid Newkirk has authored Save the Animals, 101 Easy Things You Can Do. Kids Can Save the Animals, 101 Easy Things to Do. The Compassionate Cook, 250 Ways to Make Your Cat Adore You. You Can Save the Animals, 251 Simple Ways to Stop Thoughtless Cruelty and Free the Animals. And now, with a foreword by Paul McCartney, her latest book is Making Kind Choices, and a lot of kind words for this book from the Dalai Lama to Bill Maher to Alec Baldwin. And okay, we're out of time. Thanks, Ingrid. It was nice of you to be here today. And hello, Ingrid.
Hey, thanks, Bob, so much. Yeah, I'm very delighted to make this book because everybody says to me, I've got a friend who's sort of on the fence, or a coworker who says they care about the environment, but they don't just seem to know how to do anything about it. So this is not only a tool for activists. The most dyed-in-the-wool people can probably learn something from it, because I learned in researching it so much and took in everybody's tips and recipes and ideas and crammed it into this book. But also, Making Kind Choices is a sort of book that you can give to someone who is kind but just doesn't have the big picture about all the hideous things that are happening to animals on the earth, and say, thought you might like this, and guaranteed that they will find something in it, whether it's about ethical investing or how to recycle everything from your eyeglasses, to your books, to yourself, how to eat. Everything is in it. It's something for everyone, so I'm hoping to get those fence sitters off the fence and push them onto our side.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, often people say to me, you seem to care more about animals than people. And my response is usually, well, isn't it amazing that when you do good things for animals, good things happen for people too?
Oh, absolutely. It's the animal liberation, it's human liberation, is the credo of our movement, and it's true. I mean, we all know you eat right, you don't eat animals, and therefore you don't get hardening of the arteries, high blood pressure, and all these other diseases that come with eating flesh. So, yes, you can look after yourself. And, in fact, I talk about that in the book. Everybody feels as if they are a little bit helpless today, that the world is out of control, there's not much that they can get a grip on. And that's not right, because you can make choices every moment of your life, every single thing. Most people spend most of their life at work, and so work is an important place to make humane, healthy, and helpful. And you can get involved in all sorts of programs at work and involve your coworkers and even your corporation to get behind proper giving programs, make sure that they're doubling your contribution and that contributions are going to the right charities, to say the Easter Seals rather than the March of Dimes. So if they don't care about animals, they can care about people and babies, and it all comes together. It all works as one thing. You don't step over the homeless person to reach the starving dog. You can incorporate all kinds of kindnesses, earth-friendly, animal-friendly, human-friendly, although humans I count as just another animal in the scheme of things, somebody we should look out for.
You know, people always talk about the animal rights movement and PETA as being extremist, terrorist, violent, this, that, the other thing. But really, the basis of all of this is kindness, isn't it? I mean.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I mean, I don't mind being called an extremist, frankly, Bob, because I think that if it's extreme not to look at a beautiful animal and think, sandwich, then that's fine. I'll be that extreme. To me, being extreme is that you look at a beautiful animal, think, oh, I'll find someone to slaughter this animal. Or you look in the supermarket, in the meat tray, and you see a limb with the blood and the veins and the muscles lying there, and your mouth starts watering. To me, that's extreme. It's sort of like one of the horror stories we used to be told, read to as children, you know, the ogre under the bridge or something, that we are surrounded by flesh eaters, that we grow up, most of us, as flesh eaters, don't think a thing about it. That's extreme. It seems to me so much in our society is upside down. We value power and aggression over kindness, decency, looking out for the other guy. Yet we tell our children that kindness is a value. We just have to learn to live as if kindness is a core value in our lives.
And shouldn't it be? I thought it was growing up. There was the golden rule to do unto others. There was thou shalt not kill. You know, those were some of the bases, weren't they?
Yeah, we have to make sure that they're not just words, don't we? And so, you know, in making kind choices, I say, all right, if these are our values, let's live to our full potential. Let's see how many acts of kindness we can cram into a day. It doesn't mean that we become boring people. I think it means we become more fulfilled people, people who have taken control of our lives, who are living our lives by the principles that we truly uphold in our hearts, and yet we forget about in the hurly-burly of work and driving there and getting home and having a million chores. Every single thing, there is something you can do. So let's get on and do it.
Yes, let us do that.
And Bob, of course, I mean, as you know, I mean, Harriet Tubman, everybody who has ever changed anything in history was called an extremist or a radical, because progressive ideas and ideas that are going to positively impact on society obviously are radical in the beginning, and you have to work very hard to make them acceptable. And so I need everybody to get behind this, and
sure.
we need everybody in the fray.
Yeah, I remember being to a Thanksgiving dinner with flesh eaters, and someone said to me, well, you're really an extremist. I mean, you're vegan, so that means you don't have eggs, you don't have butter, I said, well, would I be less extreme if I ate somebody's leg right now? I don't understand.
Just a few eggs. Well, the other thing, I just have it's really...
No, if I ate somebody's leg right now, that was my... That's what I said to him. Oh, would I be less extreme by eating somebody's leg right now?
Yes.
You know, at the Thanksgiving.
So. It's dawned on me, though, that being a vegan, actually, people say, oh, isn't it difficult? I think it simplifies everything. When I go to talks, people say to me, well, what if I could eat free-range eggs? And what if I do this? And if I don't buy wool from Australia, can I buy wool from... So, and you think... Listen, it's great if you make these choices that reduce suffering and reduce killing and are more environmentally friendly. But you know, it's a snap if you decide to yourself, I'm going to become a vegan, because then anything that has animals in it, whether it's the circus with chained elephants or it's a cosmetic tested on animals, it's the meat counter, whatever it is, you think, huh, animal involved? Don't want it. And that's a very simple decision to make. So your life is simplified.
And the idea of being vegan, vegetarian didn't really come out of Woodstock. I mean, if people want, they can go back to the beginning of their Bible in Genesis 1:29, and it says right there. And you know, so we're actually old fashioned. We're not quite extremists.
I think we're a bit of both. Maybe some common sense and some decency has been there since the beginning of time. There has always been this sort of, you know, good and evil battle that has played out throughout the world in how people treat each other. Look at Abu Ghraib, look at Gitmo, and look at all these things. You give people power and a bunch of people are going to abuse it. They're going to feel so insecure that they have to overpower and be barbaric to others. And I think that's what happens with hunting a lot of the time. You get people like Ted Nugent who are such weak little people that they've got to aggrandize themselves and feel more powerful by picking on others. And then you have others who are saying, don't do that. That's wrong. You can't do it. You can't get away with it. Let's change this. This is not right. This doesn't go along with what society says its values are, which are kindness is a virtue. So let's put that virtue out front, and let's not miss any opportunity to speak up, to leaflet, to say something, to educate someone, show them a film, and live by example. And then when we die, we're getting ready to die, we can look back on our lives and say, didn't waste it, didn't just sit around in the Barker lounger, didn't just watch TV, actually made a difference, helped evolve society rather than just take up some space.
Well, what would you say to people who might be considering activism, or how would you motivate people to activism?
Oh, I would say go to PETA.org and look at all the resources available, because we have a wonderful video, a CD called Chew on This, and it's free to anybody who wants it. You can actually download it on your computer and show it to people. It's 30 different reasons why to go vegan. Nothing intimidated, but it shows you all the reasons just in a nutshell, very quickly. And if one reason doesn't get you, another might. You can show that to people, especially young people who haven't been poisoned by corporate interests or material goods as much as older people perhaps have. Although I'm not saying that people of any age can't change, because people flabbergast me every day writing in and saying, I did such and such for 40 years. I'll never do it again. My eyes are open. But go to PETA.org, get the leaflets, get the videos, get the information, download the fact sheets, give them out, put them on the bulletin board at work, at the doctor's office, take vegetarian starter kits. They're free from us. Put them by the stairmaster at the gym. You know, put them at the bus stop. Take these little free vegetarian starter kits on demand cards. Put them on the grocery store bulletin board. Talk to people, educate, open their eyes, open their hearts, open their minds, help them make kind choices too. It's just easy as pie.
And get your new book. I think that would be very motivating for people.
Get my new book, Making Kind Choices, and put it, please, in libraries and give it to those fence sitters. Get it to kids. It's got things for everybody in the world. Somebody called it the other day the Martha Stewart Living Book for the Environmental and Animal Friendly. But I did go through it, and I've got things about tips for animals in the home, for wildlife, the so-called nuisance wildlife that gets into attics. A wonderful little device you can put in your swimming pool if you have one, or a pond that you've got in your backyard, that if animals fall from a tree into the water and they can't get up the slippery sides, here's this little device you can put in that will save their lives. People come out in the morning, they see squirrels on it, they see lizards on it who just would have drowned otherwise. Just a million ideas, but mostly don't eat animals, please. There are so many wonderful alternatives. I even put a recipe for Black Forest cake with cherries in this book, which is out of this world. And instead of eggs, which of course it takes a hen 22 hours in blaring light to lay one egg in this crowded, filthy cage, without eggs, you can use soft tofu, and it makes the cake light and fluffy and delectable. So,
oh, there's no excuse not to be vegan in terms of eating. Everything is there. I mean, there's a delicious chocolate cake out there. There's, you know, there are burgers, there are hot dogs, everything vegan. You know, I mean, it, you know, over 30 years ago when I was considering what I was eating, I had never heard of tofu, you know.
I know, and now, of course, it's the most versatile food. You know, we have some people who go around wrestling in tofu with the little slogan saying, "Are you still wrestling with tofu?" And they give out recipes.
Are you still wrestling? Oh, still wrestling with tofu. Okay.
Yes, it's just a little pun there. They're in a vat of tofu.
Somehow I
around.
Saw a vat of Jell-O, though. I thought you were going to say, "Are you still wrestling with Jell-O, which has gelatin, which you could get mad cow disease if you know."
No, and you find out that those things from cows are in face cream. I give a list of the face creams and other cosmetics that don't contain ugly animal ingredients, slaughterhouse ingredients, and aren't tested on animals in their eyes and down their throat. So it's easy. You can carry that little list with you when you go to the pharmacy or the supermarket, and you can buy shampoo, toothpaste, floor cleaner that does a great job and makes your floor shine or your hair shine, but didn't make the insides of some poor guinea pig glow.
Right. So cruelty-free on the shopping list all the way through here. I mean, it's just a wonderful book. It has, you talk about why your vegan baby will smile all the time.
And they do. Vegan babies are a delight. They don't get those gastrointestinal problems and those sinusitis problems that milk drinking or cow's milk drinking babies do. Mother's milk, their own mother's milk is the only milk that's meant for babies.
Yes. We are talking to Ingrid Newkirk, co-founder and president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. To know her is to love her, and when everything you hear her say is true, so, well, if you don't love her, obviously you're making money off of the exploitation of animals. I guess that would be the only I always agree with PETA. I keep trying to disagree. I go to the website, I read your materials, but I'm always in agreement with you because you're always being sensitive and sympathetic to the plight of animals and even insects. You know, for a number of weeks here in running some commercial matter for PETA, we were talking about a catch-a-bug.
Yes, absolutely. We sell a bug catcher so that you don't have to interfere with this animal or put your hands on an animal's wings or hurt them in any way. You can take this little insect in our catcher outside. Of course, you can do the same if you want with a piece of paper and a gloss, but there's no need to kill any of the animals in the ecosystem if you've got a humane solution. Don't be wired up if you can be Florence Nightingale.
I was reading, I guess, Rin Berry's book, Food for the Gods, and there was an interview with a Jain priest in there,
yes.
Jain, J-A-I-N. Many of them will walk with a little whisk broom in front of them so as not to harm any creatures in front of them. And
Jains
the little
are
bugs.
Wonderful. They really are. I subscribe to a publication called Jain Spirit, which is a great magazine. And it is all about how you should lead your life by principles. And the Jains are extremely kind. They have hospitals all over Asia for people, especially for people who've lost their eyesight.
They started the first animal hospital.
Yes, indeed, and the first bird hospital in New Delhi. Mm. They just are very, very generous, and they are very caring.
So in this interview, the Jain priest was saying, well, my little whisk broom, I kind of think of it as a karma broom, and it's the opposite of that in Western culture is the fly swatter.
Yes.
And he said, you know, if you can have respect for the smallest of creatures, those whom you think are the you know, the least among you, well, then maybe that will translate on and on and upward. So, you know, you won't be using the insect bombs and you won't be using napalm after that, you know.
Perfect. I mean, it's just, well, Bob, we love you. Thanks so much. Please take care of yourself and have a wonderful show.
Thank you, Ingrid. Thanks for being with us. I know you have to catch a flight on the book tour here, so we hope to have you back again in the extreme near future.
Thank you, and have everyone buy Making Kind Choices.
Making Kind Choices, that it is. Go to PETA.org, PETA.org. Thanks again for being with us, Ingrid
Thank
Newkirk.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. What a wonderful woman she is. What a wonderful person. And it's all about kindness. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and donation to support this show. We are supported by the advertising for vegan and cruelty-free sponsors, products and services that are vegan and cruelty-free only. And you can make a tax-deductible donation, and you make your check payable to Go Vegan, Go V-E-G-A-N, and mail it to, and there's a new post office box. Let me see if I have it memorized. It's P.O. Box 40246. So, you know, if you were taking a test in high school in the math class and trying to figure out the series of numbers, how this number relates to the one, I figured out if you start with 4 and then you go back to 0 and then it's even numbers after that. 40246. That's the new P.O. box. And it's San Diego, California, 92164. I haven't figured out the pattern for that part yet, but the 40246 I got, and San Diego, 92164. And please go to the website, newly revamped, goveganradio.com. We are archiving shows each week, starting Sunday as we air them. Then they appear on the internet, and we're getting more and more of the old shows on. At some point, we should have that first show from 4 years ago here, that first one with Ingrid, and I've got almost 200 shows, and we're getting them up on the website. Be sure to tell your friends. Go to goveganradio.com if they're out of the Southern California area, and they can hear it anywhere in the world. We will continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I'm always talking about how delicious Veggianaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianaise? Or a tofu burger with Veggianaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Yes, Veggianaise instead of mayonnaise, and vegan gourmet cheese alternatives instead of dairy. We're making our kind choices today, and another kind choice to make is to avoid leather. And a kind choice that you can make that's vegan, that would be very kind to your feet and your whole psyche, in fact, would be if you were to wear Earth Vegan footwear, as I am doing right now. I guess I have my pair of Navigators on right now. You can go to the website and check them out. I have the Navigators on. I got the Orions at home. Go to earthvegan.us, earthvegan.us. And the product is certified vegan. The Vegan Society of the UK says no animal ingredients are in these shoes, only total comfort. And you'll know what I mean when you have a pair. It's I don't know if you remember all those years ago when there were Earth shoes, but now we have Earth Vegan, featuring the famous Calso negative heel technology designed by Danish yoga master Anne Calso. Earth Vegan promotes a natural way of walking. I mean, so natural that you feel like you're walking barefoot in the sand. In fact, last week, after I went to Julie Meskel's event to raise money for her legal fund in Laguna Beach, I took a walk on the beach and... actually, I took a walk in my Earth Vegans on the beach. They were more comfortable than the sand was, I thought. So, and I think you're going to find the same. So definitely go to the website. It's earthvegan.us. There's a toll-free number, 877-746-3364. You can also see them at All Vegan, 4669 Park Boulevard in University Heights in San Diego.
M-E-A-T-S. T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
That it does. And that's why we're vegan. If you're a vegan, something special for you. You, as a VIP, a vegan important person, you are treated as a vegan important person. If you're looking for a set of wheels you need to get around, go to Bear Auto, B-E-A-R, Bear Auto, 1944 South Santa Fe Drive in Vista. Open 7 days a week. The phone number is 760-597-1600. Say hi to Gary. He's a vegan. You know, sometimes the shopping for a car thing can be a little intimidating. Well, you'll feel comfortable. There are PETA posters on the wall, and Gary's a vegan, and there's no sales pressure, except from Chet and Lewis, the two rescued sales poodles. But, their bark is worse than their bite. Hundreds of recycled cars are available, boats and collector cars, too. You can go to the website. It's bearautosales.com to see the inventory for directions and information on in-house financing. That's Bear Auto. Bear Auto buys cars, will give cash. Bear Auto in Vista, 760-597-1600.
Mommy, Daddy, no circus. It hurts animals.
And another friend to animals, Miramar Kitchen and Bath, 8454 Commerce Avenue in San Diego. MiramarKitchenAndBath.com. It's out with the old and in with the new as you remodel your kitchen and bath with style and with the quality customers come to expect from Miramar Kitchen and Bath. Stop by and say hi to owners Nicole and Martin, who are two animal lovers themselves, who remind you to spay and neuter your companion animals and adopt from shelters to help reduce dog and cat overpopulation and the killing of homeless and unwanted animals. Visit the website. Again, that is MiramarKitchenAndBath.com to learn more about Nicole and Martin's love of animals and the excellent work that they do. We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I get all flustered when I talk to one of my heroes, Ingrid Newkirk. Don't have many heroes in the world for me anymore. I mean, as I growing up, one of my heroes was Roy Rogers, but then he's in the rodeo. And Mickey Mantle was one of my heroes, but he plays in a sport. Gosh, the gloves are leather, and the ball's covered with cowhide, so... not many heroes left in the world for me now, other than people like Ingrid Newkirk. If you missed her on today's show, go to the website, goveganradio.com. You can hear her there. And she had to run off. She's in the middle of the book tour for Making Kind Choices. And we will have her back in the very near future. Looking at calendar events right now, well, local conservationist Johnny Vasek has been accepted as a crew member for the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society's spring campaign to protect seals from being slaughtered in the annual Canadian seal hunt. So there's a party going on, a fundraising event. You can learn about the Sea Shepherd campaign and give Johnny a send-off. He and his wife are inviting you to help raise funds to support the campaign and to help make a difference in the lives of those seals. The cost is $20 per person, and it includes vegan hors d'oeuvres, music, DJ, raffles, prizes, no host bar. It is coming up on Wednesday, which is February 2nd. February 2nd. Let's see, is that Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And that's Best Western Jamaica Bay Inn, the Tiki Room, 4175 Admiralty Way in Marina Del Rey. Best Western Jamaica Bay Inn, the Tiki Room, 4175 Admiralty Way, coming up on Wednesday, February 2nd. For information, call 310-740-1908. 310-740-1908, or you can email ChristineV1 at Verizon.net, KristineV1, the number one, at Verizon.net. And I want you to mark your calendar for something coming up in the future. It will be here before you know it when Sunday, May 1st comes along. I just want to make sure you're in the right place at the right time. It's San Diego's 7th annual Bowling for the Animals. Bowling for the Animals 2005. And if you want to help raise fund for animal organizations, you want to have some fun, this is your way to do it. Let me recommend that you go to the website, which is bowlingfortheanimals.org. You can win a Las Vegas vacation and great prizes, great vegan food there. And that'll be at Sunset Bowl, 3093 Claremont Drive, Sunday, May 1st, 12 noon. And you'll be bowling for the animals. The proceeds will go to the House Rabbit Society, St. Nicholas Hope for Animals, San Diego Animal Advocates, and Go Vegan Radio to support this show to help us buy airtime. So I am honored to be in that group of nonprofits who will benefit from your participation in Bowling for the Animals. Go to the website, bowlingfortheanimals.org. And since I'm mentioning St. Nicholas Hope for the Animals, people who work tirelessly on behalf of dogs who find themselves in trouble on both sides of the border, and they're working on putting together a wonderful sanctuary across the border in Mexico. Well, from them, you can win a brand new Alpine Pioneer plane. A plane, an airplane. Okay, there are 300 tickets for sale at $299 per ticket. So that's it. 300 tickets will be sold at $299 per ticket. When 300 tickets are sold, a winning ticket will be chosen, and you could win a $65,000 plane. You can call Kerry to buy a ticket. The phone number is 909-801-0012, 909-801-0012. Let's see here. You can go to the website, St. Nicholas Hope for Animals. And definitely, if you're interested, it's an interesting raffle, huh? Out of the ordinary. So, it's Bowling for the Animals. And then off in the not too distant future after that May 1st event, well, we have Animal Rights 2005, the Animal Rights Movement's annual national conference, a forum for sharing knowledge and discussing strategies and tactics and networking and recharging your batteries. And it's a four-day program featuring nearly 90 presenters from more than 50 organizations representing every faction of the animal rights movement. And it'll be happening Be happening Thursday, July 7th is when it starts, and it's once again at the Westin Hotel at LAX, W-E-S-T-I-N, Westin LAX, located 5400 West Century Boulevard, and it's a veritable who's who in the animal rights movement. And you know, I think you're going to want to register relatively soon because, I mean, early registration, I mean, it's if you register by February 15th, it's only $80. Then February 16th through March 31st, it goes up to $100. Then April 1st to May 15th, $120. May 16th to June 30th, $140. So you get the idea. If you get in on it really early, like now, it's only $80. And, you know, hurry up. Make sure the FBI and the Department of Deutschland Security don't, you know, just buy up all the early registration tickets. Make sure you get some for yourself, your family, your friends. You're going to want to be at AR Animal Rights 2005, and it'll be a wonderful event. It's coming to Los Angeles. Go to the website for that, AR2005.org, for Animal Rights 2005, AR2005.org, and I think you're going to like it. And their room rates are just as reasonable, $79 a single, $89 a double, $99, you know. So it's a really excellent time to get yourself registered. Do it. There are other things you can do. There are volunteer situations, and also go to the website, AR2005.org. Okay. Let's see. Does that CD play? Yes? No? Yeah. Okay. Well, we've just gotten word that a bill is being introduced into Congress. Let it play. Yes, indeed. Okay, so we have just gotten word that a bill is being introduced into Congress, House Resources Committee now, for reinstating the protections previously afforded to America's wild horses and burros. This bill will stop the proposed slaughter of more than 8,000 wild horses initially. So you are needed to act immediately. Write and email and phone your representatives in Congress and your senators, and ask that they support H.R. 297 presented by the Honorable Representative Nick Rahal, Democrat of West Virginia. Please ask them to bring the bill to the floor of Congress. Let Representative Rahal know how happy you are that he has taken action to save America's icon, the wild horses and burros. Let them know that wild horses and burros are the great symbol of our country and represent the freedom we're always talking about on TV. Well, here's the freedom we cherish in the form of the wild horses, and we need letters and emails to go out immediately. Okay? Wild horses roaming across our public lands, a symbol of the American way. A quote from Rahal. He said, very few icons of the West remain, and wild horses are certainly a symbol of the frontier era and our nation's spirit. To allow them to be slaughtered without exhausting all other options, such as adoption, is an affront to our history. It has been illegal for the past 33 years to sell or transfer wild horses and burros for processing into commercial products, because many Americans abhor the thought. They would be aghast to know that these animals now can and will be slaughtered so their meat can be offered on menus in France, Belgium, and Japan. To suggest that an acceptable solution to a federal agency's management dilemma is commercial slaughter is an irresponsible approach to our public lands and the wildlife that roam them. Let's see here. That was Rahal talking there. So here's your opportunity initially to save 8,000 horses, and it could go into the tens of thousands. So I hope that you will be aware of that, and get involved. Let's see here. Talking about that. Going to buy your ticket for an airplane and for bowling for the animals, and I do have a message for you from the Animal Legislative Action Network. Okay, the March 28th Los Angeles City election will be one of the most important ever for the Los Angeles humane community. It will be a test of whether animal lovers in the city can come together to create a block of votes to remove the indifference to the issues of companion animal abandonment that plague the city. The Animal Legislative Action Network is asking those throughout the city of Los Angeles who care about the way city policies and politics affect the thousands of abandoned dogs and cats and coexistent wildlife within our city limits to register to vote and then vote to remove the current city leadership that has all but been paralyzed in its inability to address the emotional and financial costs of maintaining an impoundment system in the city that destroys over 35,000 adoptable dogs and cats a year. The Animal Legislative Action Network recommends that you vote for Walter Moore for mayor, a relative unknown who has left a lucrative law practice to change the course of fiscal irresponsibility that the city of Los Angeles is embarked upon. But in addition to his message of fiscal restraint for the city, he has also made it his mission and crusade to stop the killing of adoptable animals immediately. The next endorsement that the Animal Legislative Action Network is making is for those in the 5th City Council District, which is limited by the 405 freeway on the west, Ventura on the north, La Cienega on the east, and Wilshire on the south. David Ty Vahedi, that's V-A-H-E-D-I, Vahedi, is a young, aggressive, tireless crusader for rational, accountable city government. He understands the issues of shelter malfeasance and will work aggressively to make Los Angeles a no-kill city. A-L-A-N says he deserves your support if you live in the 5th District. His name will be on your ballot. His opponent, whom Allen recommends turning out of office, is Jack Weiss. Finally, in the 3rd District, the West Valley, the Animal Legislative Action Network is recommending votes for and supporting the campaign of Green Crusader Jeff Bornstein. Jeff is running a grassroots campaign to try to unseat developer-driven Dennis Zine. Zine has shown himself to be an enemy to anyone who cares about wildlife in our urban environment, so says ALAN. He has no sympathy or empathy for the thousands of abandoned animals in the city. He should be removed. For further information, visit the Allen website. That's allenpack.com, ALANPAC.com. Okay. Then I guess, let's see, where's my cue sheet here? I do believe that I should, do I have time to go into animal news and views? Is this possible? We actually have time? Let me make sure. Yes, the clock does not lie. Okay. One thing I don't know if you noticed in the news this week, back when the show started 4 years ago, who would have imagined that today I'd be on 4 years later with the cheer, we're number 45. We're number 45. Yay. maybe I really shouldn't be cheering. Oh, and it, no, it's not, that we're number 45 conducting fair and legitimate elections. Actually, I don't think we'd be up that high on the list, although today is election day in Iraq, and hopefully Diebold reset the software in their black box voting machine so that George Devil U. Bush doesn't win there today also. I think actually there were, wasn't it like close to a couple of thousand candidates? And I think basically it's whoever is alive when the votes are counted will go into office there. But no, it's not that we're number 45 having to do anything with elections. Our nation is ranked number 45 as a protector of the environment. The New York Times last Monday said countries from Northern and Central Europe and South America dominated the top spots in the 2005 Index of Environmental Sustainability. Which ranks nations on their success at such tasks as maintaining or improving air and water quality, maximizing biodiversity, and cooperating with other countries on environmental problems. Finland, Norway, and Uruguay head the top three spots in the ranking. Finland, Norway, it's probably too cold to go out and mess up the environment there. Maybe that doesn't count. I don't know. Anyway, this was prepared by researchers at Yale and Columbia Universities. I don't see Skull and Bones mentioned there, so I guess that's why the United States is not at the top. No, the United States actually ranks 45th of the 146 countries studied. Behind such countries as Japan and Botswana and the tiny Himalayan kingdom of Bhutan and most of Western Europe, for that matter. The lowest ranking country was North Korea. Among those near the bottom were Haiti, Taiwan, Iraq, and Kuwait. The report is based on 75 measures, including the rate at which children die from respiratory diseases, fertility rates and water quality, overfishing, emission of heat-trapping gases, all sorts of criteria like that. So we are number 45 with a bullet, of course. Because everything comes with a bullet here. Let's see. A federal appeals court Tuesday revived part of the widely watched obesity suit against McDonald's Corporation that accuses the world's biggest fast food company of using misleading advertising to lure children into eating fattening, unhealthy foods. The U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that a trial judge wrongfully threw out certain portions of the complaint in September 2003 on grounds that it lacked information linking the plaintiff's injuries with eating McDonald's foods. And the ruling came on the same day that Super Size Me, the documentary about a man's month-long diet of McDevil's fast food, that was nominated for an Oscar. And, with McDonald's, It's the company that can't keep a CEO alive. You know, we talked about it last week on the show. Charlie Bell, the chief executing officer for McDonald's, died at age 44, colorectal cancer, and that's about a year and a half after the previous chief executing officer for McDonald's, Jim Cantalupo, died of a sudden heart attack, not to be confused with Dr. Atkins, who, I guess he didn't die of a sudden heart attack, he just slipped on the ice and smashed his head. Zoo officials say elephant deaths likely unrelated. So we have an Associated Press story. Lincoln Park Zoo officials said this past Tuesday they still don't know what killed a 55-year-old African elephant, but they said it likely was unrelated to the death of another elephant just 3 months ago at the Lincoln Park Zoo. We had elephants that were exported from San Diego out there, so elephants could be kidnapped from the wild to be brought to San Diego, and now the elephants at the Lincoln Park Zoo are dying. Perhaps they got used to the climate here. Perhaps they can't get used to captivity, because out of captivity they would roam 30 miles or more each day. Here's another death. Tatima, a 35-year-old female, died in October from what zoo officials said was tuberculosis or a form of bacterial disease. And now Peaches just died there at the Lincoln Park Zoo. And, you know, there is the campaign going on in Los Angeles to shut down the elephant exhibit and have the elephants go to sanctuary. And that's a combined effort of a number of organizations. You can go to In Defense of Animals, IDAUSA.org, or Last Chance for Animals, LCAnimal.org, for information on that. But the campaign is on now to shut down the elephant exhibit. The elephants are, you know, just too, they're complex creatures who don't deserve to be imprisoned and gawked upon. So that's what's going on with that. And out of the January 26th Union Tribune, protectors of La Jolla's famous harbor seal colony have literally drawn a line in the sand to keep the public from the easily spooked marine animals. Rake a Line, Hold a Sign is the name they've given to a volunteer-run program intended to give the skittish seals at, I don't know why they call it children's pool. I mean, it's seals pool, you know? Trying to give the seals some space there. From dawn to dusk, volunteers take turns holding signs, urging the public to watch the wild animals from a distance. Using a wooden rake, they etch a 20-inch wide line in the sand across the crescent-shaped cove. They are sea creatures. Can't they have one little section of the beach, huh? And this is an emergency, labor-intensive effort, and it's not nearly enough, says Jim Hudnall of La Jolla, who's been a guest on the show. The effort became necessary because the seals are showing signs of stress from being repeatedly frightened and flushed into the water. The colony, which once numbered about 200, has dwindled to less than 90 seals. In recent weeks, 7 baby seals have died after being born prematurely. According to a website maintained by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the mortality rate for young seals, including those born after reaching their full term, can be as high as 50%. The cove, which is shielded from the pounding surf by a concrete seawall built in the 1930s, used to be more of a safe haven for the seals until the wonderful San Diego City Council and mayor stepped in. Scott Peters and Mayor Murphy, or the illegitimate mayor, because we know who got more votes this time, huh? Donna Frye's mayor. Just like Dennis Kucinich is my president. That's why I'm having an easy time the next 4 years. I know what happened with those black boxes. Anyway, in September, the San Diego City Council adopted a joint use policy that allows people equal access to share the cove with the seals, and it's really messed things up for the seals, and so you might want to head down there and help them out, okay? Let's see here. Well, the World Health Organization continues to issue warnings about a possible pandemic resulting from avian influenza. A study in the New England Journal of Medicine appears to confirm that human-to-human transmission of the disease occurred in Thailand last year. According to the new study, an 11-year-old girl infected with avian influenza was the source of infection for both her mother and her aunt. So you don't just get the disease from the birds. It also comes from humans now, apparently. And, you know, with Mad Cow going on, all of that, at least there's some good news, semi-good news. Three major U.S. beef producers are scaling back operations in part due to lackluster domestic beef demand and ongoing trade issues with other countries. Tyson Foods, the largest executioner of cows and chickens, will reduce capacity for 3 to 5 weeks, slaughtering up to 30,000 fewer cows each week. Tyson executioners state that their processing plants have been running at less than 75% capacity over the past 2 months, which is 10 to 15% below historical rates. National Barf Packing Company, Beef Packing Company, also said it would reduce slaughter by up to 15,000 cows per week. Of course, you have the dairy industry wanting to increase the number of cows slaughtered so that it can raise prices on milk. Anyway, when in doubt, eat your fruits and vegetables, okay? Women who enjoy bananas, salads, and root vegetables may be less likely to develop kidney cancer, says a new Swedish study. Researchers at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden analyzed dietary information from 61,000 women aged 40 to 76 and followed the group for 13 years. They found that those who consumed 5 or more servings of fruit and vegetables daily reduced their relative risk of developing renal cell carcinoma, the most common form of kidney cancer. Although these results were not they say certain fruits and vegetables, namely bananas, root vegetables, white cabbage, and salad vegetables, appeared to offer strong protection. That's what the authors report. Eating salads more than once a day decreased the risk by 40% in comparison to no consumption, while women who ate bananas 4 to 6 times a week had about half the risk of kidney cancer. So the answer to everything, go vegan. It's my answer.
Okay, go vegan. It was a pleasure having Ingrid Newkirk on the show today, the founder, co-founder, and president of PETA,
who founded the organization in 1980 with Alec Pacheco, who had her read the book Animal Liberation from Peter Singer. And after that, well, it's all history, and now she has released her new book, Making Kind Choices. So check it out on the website. Go to PETA.org, or it should be at your favorite bookstore, should be at the library, Making Kind Choices, and it should be what we do on a regular basis. Thanks for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I invite you to go to the website, goveganradio.com. This show should be up there any minute now, and we're archiving more and more shows as we go along, so hopefully you will enjoy them. Again, it's goveganradio.com. You can find information there. I'm making a tax-deductible donation. Thanks for listening.